The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter. Then Jesus said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that when I'm dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly and make it 50. Then he asked another, 'And how much do you owe?' He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. And whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with dishonest wealth, who will entrust you with true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You cannot serve God and wealth, Jesus tells us. Now, the love of money is a great evil and the source of all manner of bondage. Working hard at overcoming such greedy and covetous idolatry could occupy one for a lifetime with no guarantee of success. Actually, such is the case for all forms of idolatry. When the things we love and trust other than God are reduced to the lowest common denominator, it is our wants, our dreams, and our desires that emerge. We are the idol. And we're not free here. We are narcissistic terrors, hell-bent on having what we want, when we want it, and God help the person standing in our way, to include our Creator. That is why idolatry is impossible to overcome. And that is why Jesus leaves us no wiggle room here. He drives a stake through our selfish heart by telling us we cannot be children of God and be idolaters. It's one way or the other. It's black or white. You're either faithful or you're not. You're either honest or you're not. You're either devoted or you're not. There's no such thing as being a little pregnant. And there's no such thing as an idolater who is a child of God. If you're not squirming a bit by now, then you should be. Just a passing glance at the first commandment written in stone ought to give us pause. You shall have no other gods, we hear. Being translated, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your body. And not just for an hour on Sunday morning. 24/7, 365, from conception to death, never failing once. That is the command. Well, let each of us confess about our success as we must. But don't fear. Jesus gives a solution. Make friends for yourselves by dishonest wealth, that is self-preserving idolatry, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into heaven, he says. Jesus is telling us to see our idolatry through to the end. He is telling us to push our narcissistic terror to its limits. Take it all for all it is. Take it and for all that it can give to us. Push, pull, and drag it as far as it will possibly go. And for what purpose? So that it will kill us. And our idolatry will finally cease to exist. And friends in heaven will appear. Well, thanks a lot, Jesus. Ever heard of a moth into the flame? How about jumping out of the frying pan into the fire? Pardon me, Jesus, but I love myself way too much to allow suicidal tendencies to be anything more to me than a rock band. Call it checkmate, as Jesus has brought us to our end. Our only hope is if someone from the outside saves us. Someone like a bad manager who pulls an in-run on the boss. Someone who runs up to us like a crazy shepherd seeking one mangy stray, or a woman tearing her house apart for one lost coin and says, quick, reduce your debt by 20%, 50%. Who cares? Go ahead. Call it 100%. But what about law? But what about good order and discipline? But what about the one suggesting such a thing being an outlaw? There goes our protest. Don't worry about it, comes the response. I seek and I find tax collectors and sinners and all manner of idolatries, people like you, and I eat with them. Don't you remember? Don't worry. I've cooked the books, and the big guy has nothing to say to you. He has to deal with me, not you. I did this. I made this happen. I have taken your debt. Now, that's the person we need. Well, I have news for you this morning. Jesus Christ has sent me to cook the books for you. So here goes. By the authority of Christ, I forgive you the entirety of your sin. There, it's done. Welcome to your eternal home, built by none other than Jesus Christ, who is for you. Amen.